Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, 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 guys. It's me, Tiffany, and it's Mandra. We just want to say thank you, guys. You guys are amazing. Thanks to you, since we started our podcast, it was just me and Mandy listening to ourselves, to now we get over 100,000 downloads a month. And I know it seems like that's awesome, but we could do it even better, and we have a favor to ask.
Just a tiny favor. If you could, please share our show. Share it on your social media. You can tag us at Brown Ambition Podcast. Take a screenshot of the show that you're listening to and share it on Twitter, on Insta, on Facebook. Tell a friend to tell a friend. You can tag us on social media. We're at Brown Ambition Podcast on Insta, at the BA Podcast on Twitter, and of course, our Facebook group. You can find us under Brown Ambition. Don't forget to tag our personal handles too. On Insta, I'm at Mandy Money, Mandy with an I, and Tiffany is at the Budgetnista. When you tag us, we will share your post and help amplify it even further. Thank y'all for all the love. This is just going to help us give us that little extra brown boost.
Hey, hey, hey. We're back. We're black. We're brown ambition. Hey, Mandra, do I sound like I'm in a bit different background, Mandy?
No. I mean, are you on the beach or somewhere?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Are you in some form of paradise that I will be jealous of?
No, kind of. I'm in my designer, her office, Rihanna of Remain Home, because my internet is trash. The storm left me, the storm we had last week left me, I don't know, just without a strong internet home. And so she's housing me. So I'm in her office right now. Her office is everything in a bag of chips. So I'm not going to lie. I'm not mad at it. So I like being here. So I live here now.
Well, that's nice that you have someone close by you can go to. Yeah, that storm that came through just like knocked everyone on the East Coast power out, except for my street. We felt really good about ourselves because we were the only street in our entire neighborhood / county that seemed like it didn't lose power. And it was the same week, like last week, I was going to get my first haircut in nearly a year. And then also my first headshots in nearly, when did you and I do our headshots for the show? 5 years ago. And of course, both of the people who were doing, you know, those services, their power went out and I had to reschedule and all this. But and then little did we, like on Friday, we lost power. While they were fixing whatever, we lost power and I, you know, it screwed my whole day up. But I just feel like lack of internet should be a crime today.
Yeah.
It should just, but I'm glad that you have a refuge. Okay, we've got, like, weather cannot be what we start talking about. We have got to talk about Kamala. Kamala
Harris. I was going to say, yes, that's...
How do you feel?
I was going to say, how do I feel? I feel both excited, but then also scared because I'm like, oh, God. Like, are people going to, you know, like, are people going to vote, like, for a black woman? I mean, I know they're voting for, obviously, president, you know, but meaning that is that going to be a reason why people say, nah, you know, because honestly, I don't know. I could take four more years. I don't know if this country could take four more years of this trash. So that's the only thing. I was both excited, but like I said, also really a little bit worried.
I think the emotions everyone is feeling, because this news came out, you know, maybe a couple of hours ago, and I immediately got on Twitter, and it was just a fireball of emotions and so many emotions. And, you know, you get caught up. My initial reaction was I truly felt this sense of relief and fear that someone will ruin this for us. It's very odd, and I'm struggling. I'm not the kind of person. I usually avoid Twitter because am afraid that my hot take will get me in trouble, as it has given, has gotten so many other folks in trouble. And I think a lot slower about some things, but I'll try to put a name to what I'm feeling. And I guess I'm super optimistic. I'm so freaking happy that Biden picked a woman of color and such a qualified woman of color at that. Kamala Harris is everything that I think conservatives are terrified of. She is strong. She is ambitious. And I mean none of these in a negative way. She has, for me, come from such a diverse background that I believe she has exactly what it takes. And the ability to empathize with people from various backgrounds is just something we have sorely been lacking in our administration for so long. She stood up to Biden himself, and she is known for eviscerating people. You know, her background in law is just, you know, is storied, and she is known for her ability to use words, you know, and use people's actions and really just like call, you know, speak truth to power. And we saw that happen during the debate when she called Biden out for his lack of support around busing. What was it, back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, when she was a young girl. And that, you know, I immediately thought of that when he made the announcement, because, you know, the fact that he could get over himself, you know, can you imagine Trump ever like lifting up a woman, let alone a woman who deigned to speak against anything he had done in the past?
No.
But Biden, no, right? So Biden at least could get over himself enough to say, you know, forget about this, you know, this sick burn that you levied against me in the debate. You're someone that I can learn from, who won't be afraid to challenge me. And I'm just putting words into his mouth, but I imagine all this must have gone through his head. And I want to rock with you. And I mean, her nomination is historic.
Yeah, it is.
But if she's elected, first Black VP, first Asian American VP, because her mother was of Indian descent and her father, I think, was from Jamaica. Mm. First woman VP, like, oh, and the fear I feel is just like, please don't take this from us. Like, I want to be hopeful, and I want to, you know, I want to believe that, I have to believe, I guess, now that America wants someone like this in office. We have got to come out, you guys, and vote. We've got to, you know, or come out or vote or mail or whatever, you know?
Yes, even though they're trying to defund the
post office.
It's
kind of terrifying.
It is. It's like someone, I was watching like this, like, I don't know, some Instagram like video, and it was like, it was supposed to be funny, but it was also terrifying. And like this guy was pretending that his friend woke up from a coma, and he was explaining to him how 2020 was going. And it sounded so crazy.
Wait, when did he go into the coma? That's important.
Like before, like, you know, like 2 years prior or whatever. But like, so can you imagine someone waking up and being like, and then we can't go outside, it's quarantine. There's a virus going on. It's killing people, and people are fighting to go outside anyway. Like, can you just imagine all the, it just sounded so crazy. So yeah, I'm trying to temper my hope, because I was hopeful last time and we see where that got us. So yeah, it's just, but it's, at the very least, it was very, this, you know, we're celebrating. That was going to be actually my win for today. Like, Kamala, not Kamala.
You can't wait till the end of the show to talk about this. What? I mean, I get it. You know, whenever you said hope, I thought about Obama's memoir, The Audacity of Hope. And I don't know what it's been. Maybe it's because the world is so dark and everyone is so cynical lately, but I have felt more hopeful and optimistic. Maybe I just survived that crazy few months at the beginning of the year with the newborn, and I'm just like, nothing can kill me. You know, I can do anything. I choose optimism. I choose hope. I think it really is a choice. And I'm not saying that if that's not where you're at right now, not you personally, but anyone listening, if today is not the day when you can feel optimistic and hopeful, and that's okay. But lately I've just felt this, I've felt grateful in a lot of ways for the changes that I've seen the last few months in our country. the way that we're talking about systemic racism, the seismic shift, I think, in those conversations. The fact that my mother, for my birthday, got me a gift card to a Black-owned business out of Chicago owned by a Black woman called Glamorina. And wait, is it Chicago? No, I'm not sure. But anyway, it's called Glamorina. Like, my mom did that. She went out of her own way to find a business owned by a Black woman because she knew that would be meaningful to me. Like, who is my mother? My mother voted for, and I know she listens to the show. First of all, she also listens to the show now, which is another change. And she listens to it and doesn't, like, get angry, I think, at what she hears. You know, and she voted for Trump in 2016. And I choose to, you know, I think that I have examples, you know, just too many little signs that the weather is shifting, that there is a change coming. And, you know, it would destroy me, devastate me, I think maybe even more than the first time around if he who must not be named were to win this election again. But I can at least say change, like, there has been good that has come out of this last 4 years. There has been great. There have been great moments. There have been conversations that never would have happened. There's been, you know, for all of the devastation that he has wrought, I think that there has been goodness. And that's just kind of what I'm trying to focus on. And I think whatever you need to hear, I just want to, like, motivate anyone to, you know, just try to be hopeful and encourage people that you know who are cynical to, who don't think their votes count.
Or who, yes, they absolutely do.
Or people who don't think that there's a point in voting because, oh, Trump's just going to win. Like, we can't let those thoughts get in the way. Just choose hope.
Yeah.
Because I think that is what it's going to take. It will be a tight race. I'd be shocked if it weren't. Every vote is going to count. There's too much on the line. That's how I feel.
Yeah. I mean,
call me Pollyanna. No. Indiana. I'm just imagining.
I'm usually Tiffany Anna. And I'm not, like, saying, I guess I'm just like, it's just the emotion of it all. I'm like, I'm just gonna live somewhere in the middle so I can manage my emotions. But
No,
but I can understand. Honestly, to your point, the fact that Black Lives Matter has become, quote unquote, mainstream is, like, tremendous enough. Like, Patrice, one of the Black Lives Matter founders I remember when she came out with her book, I actually went with her to Sydney when she got, when Black Lives Matter got the Sydney Peace Prize. And so she came to represent the organization, and I went with her because Drina was one of her clients. So we went, and she's just awesome. But I remember her book was literally called "When They Call You a Terrorist." Like,
yeah,
that's
right.
Like, that's like where Black Lives Matter was just a few years ago. And now it's like this mainstream thing that companies are, like, posting, you know, much to the chagrin of, you know, of certain people. But I just think that, like, to your point, there's definitely a shift that we're seeing and feeling. And I just pray that the shift continues. Because honestly, we need something, because this ain't it. This ain't it. Other than that, what else is happening in your life?
Oh, other than that, well, we had a huge response to our last episode where we had Christina and Amon from Our Rich Journey, the YouTube channel that you need to put into your rotation if you have been asleep all this time and aren't aware of them. We had a huge response. People love them. And I feel like we got a lot of new fans too, maybe who watched their show but hadn't heard of our podcast. That was a great conversation. I'm still feeling, you know, actually discovering their channel. And then that led me down this, like, beautiful rabbit hole of other brown voices on YouTube. There's not a lot, but we're out there sharing wealth building strategies. And I started to feel more optimistic watching them and watching others. And it just felt like the right time to have their voices on our show. How did you feel about our Rich Journey folks? And I actually want to get to some listeners' responses.
No, I thought I was mad that my internet was like, no talkie for you, Tiffy. I was like, ah, but I will say that they were really inspiring. You know what really struck me most about Amon and his wife, Christina, is that there was a sense of peace and joy that I felt.
Mm.
That it wasn't all. See, look, right on cue, Rio's like, joy.
That's my little joy nugget. Seriously, he's making up for all the pain and the exhaustion.
Right. Now. So I think that's what actually moved me the most. The financial component, obviously, that was like super, like, you know, inspirational, things like that. But lots of people get to have money. What they have is greater than money. They have wealth, like true wealth. They seem healthy. They seem happy. They seem whole. It resonates with them in their videos. It resonates with them, like, just like from conversation. It just, I felt it from them. And I was just like, wow, like, I want to reach that level of, like, not that I'm not joyful, but there was a level of peace. Y'all know I'll be stressed out and anxious about everything. So there was a level of peace. And I was like, I want some of that. That seems real cute. So.
Thanks for putting a name to that. That's what I felt. There was something magnetic about them. And maybe, yeah, it is that. It's that sense of there's no bullshit there.
Yeah.
It's just two happy people, yes. And not just happy with their wealth and their financially security and financial security. God, I can't talk either. But their relationship,
yes.
I mean, 20 years together, I have to stop comparing my marriage to every other marriage out there, because immediately I'm like, well, me and Enrique, we can't sit down and talk about money. Like, we still end up fighting about it. We can't even agree on, like, what to order for dinner sometimes. But, like, they've had 20 years together, and you can tell that they have such a mature relationship, mature respect for each other. Mm-hmm. Their daughters, if you haven't checked out their Our Rich Journey Junior channel, I think that's also a really, their daughters are amazing too. Yeah, it's a positive voice out there. It's a positive voice out there that is saying, you can do this too. Like, we got here and we are generously going to share, you know, our strategies, and there's nothing in it for them. I mean, yes, of course, like any other popular YouTube channel, they have ads and they have affiliates and all that jazz, but that's not where they came from with mm-hmm. it. And, you know, that is what I'm choosing to. There's so many options we have to, you know, in a screen, like shows we can watch and content we can consume, and so little time to do it all. But, you know, I'm trying to choose more voices like theirs to fill my, you know, brain with, or
yes.
whatever, fill my world with, because I feel good watching yeah. them talk about even things that I already know about. I don't care. Just, it's nice to have, you know, they're like the friends in my head. Like, you guys say, we're your friends.
Yes. And the educator in me is just really impressed, because, like, watching their videos, I've been binging them. They are really good teachers, you know? So I'm like kind of a teacher snob. I don't know if you guys know that, but, like, there are certain things that I look for that I can't even articulate. Like, it's like, if you're a really good painter or really good at playing a sport, you know, there's certain footing. Like, when I used to play tennis, I could tell the way you walked on the court, whether or not you really play tennis or you were just playing for fun, which is fine, you know, but, like, there's certain stances. And so, the way, like, watching them on their, you know, their YouTube channel, I was like, wow, they're really good teachers. They explain things in a way that, even if you've never heard these terms before, they intrinsically knew that they would explain something. So let's just, for example, I was watching a video they had today about tax efficiency when it comes to your investing, right? Investments. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, they didn't just try, like, plow into it. Like, they would say a thing and be like, let me tell you what the term tax efficiency means. Taxable account, what does that really mean? So they would say a thing and then recognize that there are terms there that need to be explained, and they would explain them. That's a mark of a really good teacher, of anticipating where the learner is going to be like, wait, I have a question, and answering that question before it's asked. That's a really, like, a really strong mark of being a really good teacher. So I just am impressed with them overall. But you said we had some listener letters or listener comments.
Yeah, I'm not going to share names, but one of the comments I was kind of prepared for, and I guess I'm grateful we only got one of these, but I can imagine that maybe other people were thinking this. Christina and Iman, and you guys should go back to the last episode and listen to our interview with them if you haven't yet. It's episode 228 from just last week. But I even mentioned this on the show. I personally have had some cynicism around the whole FIRE movement,
yes.
financial independence, retire early. It's often people who have, you know, really either they have inherited something, or they live in such a crazy minimalistic way that it's not realistic for most people. That kind of sucks the joy out of all their life. Or, you know, you can point to their financial independence by looking at, okay, they had a really high earning job. And, you know, I had a little bit of cynicism about that, but I had to acknowledge too that I think part of me didn't want to, like, part of me felt some type of way about these types of stories, because I guess I was a little insecure that I hadn't achieved that kind of independence yet. Like, insecure in myself. And also, like, that is not my life. I work 9 to 5.
Yes.
Like, what do you mean I don't have to have this job? What do you mean that in 8 years I should be not working? But my identity is my job. How does that work? And finally, like, when I – and it's true, you know, to my own point, those stories, you know, there weren't people of color in those stories. It did feel like, oh, this is only something that, like, privileged someone who already has inherent privileges could accomplish. Christina and Iman kind of forced me to look at that and say, that ain't true. They did it. And one of the comments that we got from a listener was, well, you know, because both of them, they do say that they work in public government, and you don't have, like, my husband works for the government too, and their salaries are public, and you can easily find out, not easily, but you can generally find out what someone might make depending on their job. And someone did a little bit sleuthing, I guess, and had responded to me about the show and said, well, they make X amount of dollars, they made X amount of dollars, you know, through their jobs. And I kind of felt, and then that comment was sort of discounting their success and kind of saying, well, like, of course they were able to retire early. Mm-hmm. They earned XYZ at their jobs. And I understood where this person was coming from, but I also think, listening to their story, like, yes, they achieved wealth. And one way they did it was by gaining the education and choosing careers that would help them go in that direction. But that's okay for us to talk about.
Yes, it is.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like, don't you feel like there's this sense of negativity around anyone who acknowledges that it takes work and you have to be, you have to reach out for wealth. You know, it's not just going to find its way to you. You have to, especially if you're coming at it from a disadvantage, like so many people of color are. Like, you've got to be intentional. You've got to, you know, there's steps that you can take, getting that higher education degree, you know, being really ambitious in your career, you know, getting a sponsor or a mentor, you know, these things that, anyway, and Christina and Iman prove that if you take these steps, you too can build wealth and it is attainable. And I think personally, having, like, I'll speak to my feelings in the past, I have felt a little like, like I said, just a little insecure when I see those messages, because I'm like, well, but I don't have that, so what's wrong with me? Mm. And I'm definitely in a whole different place today. I'm excited. I'm optimistic. Their story lit a fire under me more than it ever has. No pun intended.
I just realized.
maybe a little bit of pun intended. But I choose, like I said, I choose to be optimistic. I choose to see them, be so proud of them, even though I just met them virtually. I'm so proud of them. And I there is more of that for all of you guys listening. It does not mean that they did it and there's no room for you to achieve it. Like, that's the beauty of their story. It shows you that there is a way. It shows me that there is a different lifestyle than the one that I have been heads down, you know, building for myself
and I'll say
for
this,
so
that,
long.
That, like, even if, because I do believe there are some obstacles that will prevent some people from achieving that lifestyle. That's just life. But what I will say is that even if it's not 8 years to retirement, even if it's not, like being able to move to Portugal, what I will say is that there is better available to everyone. And that's what I hope that you take away from Iman and Christina, that, like, because, I mean, look at me. I mean, in total for the last 10 years, I mean, my business has grossed, I don't know, maybe $15 million. And although I guess I am financially free, I guess, you know, I still work like a damn dog, you know, like building the budget, because I have other things I want to accomplish, you know. Mm-hmm. And so certainly it helped me look at myself and say, huh, you know, like, what is the desired outcome? That's what it helped me look at, because you have enough, I guess, Tiffany, technically, but I'm not working for the money. But anyway, I just wanted to share that for me, what I hope listeners got from their story is not that, hey, be like me. It's more so that better is available, and here's an avenue, one of the avenues that you can take. And so I hope you just internalize that, because, you know, like, Mandy's story to success is one that, I mean, you didn't grow up with money, Mandy. You know, your mom raised you and your siblings, and it was hard, you know. And from what we know, you were a rebellious young woman.
I mean, you know, I stood up for myself. I don't know what you're talking about specifically, but
yeah. And so, right? And then, but then look where Mandy is now, despite, you know, not growing up with a silver spoon. And then look at me, two immigrant parents. And, you know, yes, I grew up in a two-parent household, but my dad was an accountant, my mom was a nurse. So these are professions that, you know, make decent money, but my dad worked for a nonprofit. So let's be real. Like, my mom made more, quite honestly, and I'm one of five girls, and I was a preschool teacher, and that was my plan up until age 29. And now look, so there are so many different paths. So to me, the destinations are not the same, but the path should be always to better. And that's what we hope to illustrate with our show.
Could not have said it better myself.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, you sound like me now. Look, we're starting to trade.
Wait. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, yeah. And then again, go check out our interview with Christina and Iman. And if you listened to it first and you felt some type of way about it and you didn't leave there feeling excited, listen to it again after hearing us. Because, you know, it's like Tiffany said, there's not just one. They inspired me to find my own version of freedom, whatever that looks like. And I feel like I'm at the point now where I've ticked off some boxes, and now, you know, they came at the right time. One of the listeners who messaged just said, one of the things that was most apparent was that Mandy really needed to hear this story. You needed to hear from Christina and Iman. And I guess I did. You know, I think when, you know, there's this point now where, okay, it's leveling up. It's like level up your money and really start to grow wealth and decide how you want to do that. And am I going to, you know, Christina and Iman, they're transparent about how they built their wealth. They side hustled, but they had great careers in government. Christina went back to law school. They flipped houses in the Bay Area. I have decided, like, real estate's not my way to wealth. I don't have the risk tolerance for it, but I'm excited to find my own way there. And you know, hearing their story has given me, of course, has given some ideas, but if you look at people's story and say, well, they're just saying that I have to do it that way, then you're not really listening.
Yeah.
And you've got to, you know, take your inspiration, but then be excited to find your own way to wealth and wellness. And, you know, Tiffany and I can feel like with this show, we are talking about wealth building a lot more on this show. And
yes,
it's something that I think we should really be intentional about, because look how far we've come in the 5 years since we've done this show. And we have to acknowledge our longtime listeners, they've grown too.
Yeah.
Like, the questions we got back then are a little bit, you know, are different than the ones we're getting now. And if y'all have specific questions, you know, scary, technical, investing, wealth building questions, I'm ready to tackle them. I think we should, you know, really, you know, embrace those types of conversations. So, you know, what is y'all's plan to build wealth? What questions do you have around stock market investing outside your 401k? And for those of you who may think, well, I can hardly imagine investing outside my 401k because that's all I've gotten so far and I'm not ready for that, like, listen anyway, because the hope is that one day you will be ready to invest beyond and to grow your wealth, you mm-hmm. know, beyond those standard wealth building practices. And I hope that we can help y'all think bigger than even we have on the show so far.
Yeah, that was good. You know, usually I'm not really a super fan of guests. Not to say all of our guests are great. That's why we don't have a ton of guests, because
we're so snobby.
No, well, just because I like our conversations together. And sometimes you guys are like, I don't need a guest. But we're fortunate that all of our guests have been amazing. That's because we pick, you know, wisely, and we don't overwhelm y'all with guests. But no, that was honestly one of my faves. And like I said, now I'm obsessively stalking them on YouTube. So they're my new besties.
New besties. And we were just real quick for people who are looking for, because I had dabbled in YouTube, but I usually was looking
not
at recipes.
Dabbled.
Not dabbled, but I watched a lot of YouTube, but it was usually like recipes or, I don't know, just how to train your dog not to bark at the mailman. I wasn't looking for financial advice there. But now that I have started looking, there's a lot of great content out there. So Tiff and I, we share some faves. Do you want to, for anyone who's looking for like some YouTube channel, what do you call them? People, I don't know,
yes,
channels to watch.
Yeah, YouTube channels to subscribe to. So we actually have two of our new faves. Like, I didn't realize that you watch. My fave, all-time fave, is Minority Mindset with Jaspreet Singh. He is,
yes,
not Sek. It's not Sikh. I always say Sikh, but he's like, no, it's called Sek. I think it's Sek. I think that's the way you're supposed to say it. But yeah, he is awesome sauce. First of all, he is fun. He's engaging. He's an attorney. But like, so like, he's super smart, but he knows how to explain. it's he literally explains the economy. So it's almost like taking an economics class with him. It's not so much like there's personal finance things there, but especially his more recent things are really like, this is what's happening in the economy. And let me explain it to you in a way that you're going to understand. When I tell you, I watch his videos every single morning. It's one of my go-tos. He posts a video about 6 days a week, and you can sign up for his free emails, which I don't get a chance to read as much, but I watch his videos every day. And then you and I both like Investing with Rose, right?
Yeah, Investing with Rose, she's super, I love her. She's, you were talking about being a good teacher. She has a really nice, she has a, something about her tone and her approach to talking about finance. She's someone that my husband and I could both look at and listen to and get educated. And he and I were, we were bickering back and forth because he was like, no, you're defining index fund wrong. No, I, you know, I was like, no, you, an index fund is a type of mutual fund. He's like, but it's also an exchange traded fund. And I was like, no, it's not. So we watched Investing with Rose and settled the argument. And I think, I forget now who was right. I think we were both a little bit right. But she really helps, you know, explain things to you in a way that makes it, you know, easy to understand. And one note about Jaspreet and Minority Mindset, I signed Enrique up for his newsletter yesterday without asking him because I knew his newsletter is great.
It is.
I love it.
It is.
Between that and he's got a whole, I mean, he's kind of like building a whole brand and a whole media empire because he has a whole team, you know, like.
Yes. They have the free curriculum, like a full out, like if you want to teach your kids financial literacy curriculum, Jaspreet had a curriculum made. And I was just like, I mean, I don't even know. He's like such a sleeper. I'm like, why hasn't anybody picked up on this dude? He's amazing, funny, like just super intelligent, but like breaks things down in a way and full fledged. Like you said, he's a straight media company. So watch out for him.
And I love, and his show, Minority Mindset, when I first, because I'm in brown ambition mode, I was like, oh, you know, minorities like brown people. But he means, what I love about it is when he says minority mindset, he means, you know, building true wealth, the minority of people are able to achieve it.
Yes.
And here are the skills and here's what they understand about the world and how it works to achieve that type of success.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great channel. Investing with Rose is the other one. Who else are you loving? I know our friends, His and Her Money, they have a really successful channel on YouTube. Talat and I forget now.
Talat and Ty and Talat. Talat.
Yeah. Ty and Talat. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We need to have them on the show. We were supposed to have them on the show a while back, but that never happened.
I'm trying to think. Who else am I listening to? That's like my go-to right now. There's a few things, like sometimes things will pop up and I'll watch, like, but as far as like who I like my go-to to actually go and watch on purpose, those are my on purpose watchers.
You guys tell us, send us an email, brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up. We never talk about Twitter anymore, but that's a thing. Hit us up at the BA Podcast on Twitter, or of course, our beloved home, Instagram at Brown Ambition Podcast on the gram. Who are y'all listening to or watching on YouTube? Like, what channels do you binge on the weekends, like the money nerds that we know and love? Let us know. Maybe we'll shout them out on the show. Maybe we'll have more of them on as our guests or vice versa.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Awesome sauce.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a quick break, shall we, and come back and dive into some questions?
Yes, let's do so.
Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
All right, we are back. Again, y'all can hit us up with your questions. Hey, we have a website, brownambitionpodcast.com, with the Ask Us Anything tab. Y'all can check that out. And if you're looking for beyond iTunes, a place to find old episodes or, you know, check out our social handles in one place. You go to our website, brandambitionpodcast.com. You can also send us emails via email, snail mail, snail Gmail, whatever, brandambitionpodcast@gmail.com or Instagram @brandambitionpodcast. Let's dive in. This question is near and dear to my heart because I recently decided to cut this expense from my budget, and I want to talk about why. So this question comes from listener Renata. She says, what are y'all's thoughts on pet insurance? I've had insurance for my 9-year-old dog for the past 3 years. It started out at $30, and every year the price increases. It's now at $45, and I'm beginning to question if it's worth it. It doesn't cover any routine visits, only emergency visits, which we rarely use, knock on wood. I've had 4 months of emergency savings saved up, working our way up to 6 months. I'm contemplating canceling the insurance and putting that $45 per month into a separate bank account instead to save up for any of her medical emergencies. What are your thoughts?
Well, I will say, I mean, I don't know how long dogs usually live for, but I know that my friend Cabral has a little Shih Tzu, Bentley, and Bentley is like deaf now. He's like half blind. And he's been in and out kind of like,
Shih Tzus.
I know, he's been in and out of the hospital for just because he's at that age. And one of the things Cabral said that he wished he'd gotten was pet insurance. So I guess I had a cat, but she ran away, but whatever.
we know the cat who
that lived across the street.
Yes. Went on to a better life.
Basically.
She's like, they feed me on the regular. So.
Exactly. Not that cheap stuff that high schooler next door feeds me. They feed me real food. So, yeah. So that's one thing that he said. He was like, I guess with all of Bentley's, like, you know, medical conditions, he kind of wishes he, because he's like, some of the things, you know, that's his baby. So he's like, some of the, you know, his last bill was like $300. And so he's like, I wish I would have had insurance for Bentley. So I can only speak from someone who, you know, who's going through it now with their pet and trying to figure out. I think Bentley's like 12 or 13 years old. So yeah, that can only speak to that. But I know you have Molly. Do you have insurance? Or you had it?
Yeah. So with Molly, yes, we got her when she was just over a year old, and I forget when, maybe a few months in. I mean, we probably had a few $100 of vet expenses right out the gate for her. You know, she had to have an annual, even though they come when you get them through a shelter, they come neutered or spayed or whatnot when they have some of their shots. But, you know, there's additional things that you have to go. All of a sudden it was like she needed a blood test and a fecal exam. And I walked out of that vet, you know, hundreds of dollars poorer and feeling like, what just happened to me? What is this dog costing me? And I actually did. I shopped around and I got pet insurance. It's about $30 a month, 35, something like that. And you definitely should shop around. You know, the same way we've talked about shopping for a life insurance policy, sites like Policy Genius and Value Penguin, you can compare pet insurance policies pretty easily online these days. And she's right. I mean, they don't cover a lot of that routine healthcare because that's actually what comes up in the first few years of their life. And that's the shitty thing about it. I'm not going to lie. But to Tiffany's point, you have to think about the breed of dog that you have and what are the, you know, what health issues, complications do they tend to deal with later in age? And do some research and find out what maybe some of the treatments might cost for something like that. And see if you'd be willing to come out of pocket for those expenses. Pet insurance, unfortunately, is one of those types of insurance, you know, it's not covered on Obamacare, sadly. So that means that pre-existing conditions can sometimes exclude coverage. So like your dog can be denied coverage because they might even just be a type of breed that, you know, tends to have certain conditions. Or, you know, if you get insurance later in life, they can deny you a policy or charge a lot more depending on like what types of issues a dog has already had. If you've got the space in your budget, it could make sense to have pet insurance. But really what they'll cover is treatments that are accidents or, you know, unexpected, like, injuries, you know, hit by a car. I hate to say these things. I don't want to put that energy on the universe. But, you know, anyway, they get really sick. They have a virus, whatever. I recently decided to stop paying for health or pet insurance. And I decided it for the same reasons it sounds like you're you're thinking about, Renata, which is, you know, I could just put money aside and have some money set aside for if something were to happen. And at least then the money is staying in your bank account and not going to some insurance company. So I came up with a number that I felt comfortable with, and it's a few thousand dollars, which is just, and you know, and I have it in a savings account and I have it, you know, earmarked for Molly should anything ever happen to her. And I'm continuing to contribute a little bit to it each month. And, you know, I hope I never have to use it, but I'm okay with that. But to your point, or to your question, you say that you have 3 to 4 months of emergency savings already saved up with you, yourself and your partner. And it sounds like you would be potentially dipping into that savings fund if something were to happen to your dog. And in that case, I don't know, I would caution you, because like you don't want your dog to bankrupt your emergency savings. You know, that you don't want to like put your financial security at risk like that. So maybe pet insurance, you know, makes sense for now. And once you get more comfortable with where your emergency savings is at, you can start a separate fund, you know, for your pet as well. It took me a while to get here to where I had a separate savings account for my dog. And I waited until I got a dog, you know, for a reason, not just because of the yard that I wanted to have for the dog, but also I wanted to have, you know,
to be funds in the bank. Yeah.
That's so, yeah, it's difficult. I don't think anyone ever regrets having insurance, but yeah, that's how insurance works. And like, that's the dumb realization I had about life insurance. And I asked my financial advisor, I was like, so I just spend $100 a month. And like, if I don't die, it just goes away. I don't get the money. She's like, yeah. That's how insurance works.
Right? But guess what? On the flip side, you get to live.
If you do die, you know, your family will love the money. But like, I don't get to enjoy it because I'll be dead. Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's a, I'm sorry I can't give you like a straight yes or no, but I could see the argument either way. And yeah, that's all I got. Tiffany, why don't you have a pet? What's happening? Doesn't Supergirl want a dog?
She wanted one for a hot second, but if you know Supergirl, like I know Supergirl, she doesn't like outside. She doesn't like bugs. She doesn't like this. She doesn't. I'm like, girl, do you know, like, that's a whole animal. She's not prepared. And so she wanted one just like as a little kid when she was like 7 or 8 for like a good 3 months. And then she realized, wait, I don't like any of the things that go along with an animal. So, yeah, I don't see her ever getting an animal. And I wouldn't mind necessarily a cat, I guess, but to me, dogs are a lot of work. I mean, my Rihanna, whose house I'm taking over right now, she's got a dog, a big French bulldog named Henry.
Wait, French bulldogs are little.
Oh, well, maybe it's a
The slobbery ones, like an English bulldog.
Yeah, English bulldog. That's what it is. I got my regions mixed up. Yeah, it's like huge.
All the Frenchie lovers are like, how dare you?
I know. He's huge, and we call him Hen. And I'm like, yeah. I love Hen from afar, and it's a lot. Mm. So, yeah, like I said, I could see myself maybe with a pet. I don't know. Cats scratch things up. I don't have the patience for the scratchy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Just wondering. All right, awesome. Well, thank you for that question. Let's get to another one. How much time do we have, Tiff? When does your free office expire?
We could take one more.
All right, fabulous. This one is from someone who wants to remain anonymous, mysterious. All right, but this is an interesting question. This listener says, I'm currently struggling with contentment. My fiance and I were going to quit our jobs and move out of state after we got married this summer, but then our wedding was canceled due to the COVID situation. Now we'll be in our current place for another year, and I don't really want to stay at my job, but they've been so great to me. Back in March, they laid off 20% of the company, and my boss asked me if I could scale back in my current role and work in a different one. At the time, I didn't mind because I was so gracious to even have a job, especially when we initially planned on moving in a few months. But now it's 6 months later, and I'm still working in the other role, and I feel like I'm not advancing in my career skill-wise or financially. Would it be crazy to get another job knowing I'd be there for only a year? Or should I just tough it out at my current place and be grateful so many people don't even have jobs right now? There's a lot of emotions here.
It is.
Good question. But this is a great question, because a lot of people probably, like, if you weren't at a, it's kind of like you're stuck. Even people who like broke up right before the COVID pandemic and ended up still living together because, you know, they couldn't just like leave during a pandemic, and they're like, oh man, I hate you, but I'm just stuck with you in this apartment or whatever. You're like stuck in a job that you don't like, but it's a job that you feel grateful to have, and you're wondering, should I just be grateful and stay here? Or, you know, would it be crazy for me to move on despite how good they've been to me?
I'm learning that, I mean, it's a job. And so I think that you should do what's best for you. I know it's hard. I mean, I don't think that you should not think about, you know, the company that you work for, especially if they've treated you well. But I do think that ultimately you have to do what's best for you and try to lighten the blow as much as you can for the company. So you might, you know, stay on 2 weeks to help train somebody or whatever that looks like. But I wouldn't stay in a place where I'm unhappy because the company, you know, you feel like, oh, you know, they kept me on. Because guess what? There are 20% of people that they didn't keep on. They did what was best for them as by way of those 20%, you know?
Just laughing at the baby's a very loud eater. Delicious dinner, Dada.
So,
that's
yeah.
a good point.
So that's what I just say. Like, you know, because I mean, I've been struggling. I have a decision that I have to make. And I'm like, I'm this close. I was this close to making a decision for what's best for the other, like, group involved. And I was like, well, so you're going to make a choice that could affect you for the rest of your life because you're like, I don't want somebody to be disappointed in me. I want us, especially as women, to, like, break out of that habit because it's not helpful. And the truth is, whatever that other person or organization, they will rebalance and they will manage. And so it's your responsibility to take care of yourself. It's not someone else's responsibility to take care of you. And so that's, yeah, I think that's really important. That's something, that's a lesson that we all need to learn. That like, okay, I have to learn to take care of myself. Now, not doing so in a way that's purposefully harmful to others, you know, but to do so like, okay, well, what is it that I need to be happy, to be joyful, to be successful, and work toward that with integrity? And that's all that can be asked of you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've given them 6 months. And I think the gratitude goes both ways. You stayed with them. They should be grateful for you that you're willing to switch jobs, essentially, is what it sounds like, and do something different to fill the need that they have, given that they had to lay off a fifth of their company. So they should feel gracious toward you. And of course, I feel the same way. I'm grateful to have a job. But at the same time, you should like treat this like a relationship, a healthy one anyway. I know there's some like toxic relationship behaviors, but one of the things you have to do is that other person is not a mind reader, right? So, you know, if you like, I would tell your boss in a way that you feel comfortable doing, you know, tell them, hey, it's been 6 months. You asked me to kind of pivot and take on this different role. Is there any chance I can get back to doing what I was doing? Or is it now okay for us to talk about the next step for me? Because I do want to advance. And I would be transparent and tell them honestly where you're at and where you want to be. And I recently did this, and I have done it at jobs before, where you have a frank discussion, and it doesn't have to be you come to the table with the perfect vision of what you want to achieve written out, but you come to the table because you want to express to them, hey, I want to, if I'm going to stay here for a while, I would like to know that there's opportunities for me here that I can continue to advance. And I think it's been long enough in the pandemic, although it probably depends on your industry and even where you're at geographically, you know, how your company, like what the prospect is looking like or the future is looking like for them. But for a lot of businesses now, I feel like the light at the end of the tunnel is approaching, or they can see it and they're starting to think past this crazy time. And they may be open to having that conversation. And at least at that point, you've laid your cards on the table. And if you want to start looking for another role somewhere else, then you can start doing that. The timing of it, because she says basically like they'd still want to move out of state after they get married. And if she were to take a different job right now, she'd only be there for a year because their plan is still to move. And do we think that's crazy? We actually recently took a question about this similar, like what happens if I start a job and then quit it very quickly after starting? That's tricky.
Yeah. Like,
taking a job knowing that you're about to leave within a year, I mean, yanks, that's not the best. And could it be a job that you could work remotely at? I don't know.
Yes, I would still look because you're right. It might be, especially with what's happening now, like mm-hmm. the opportunity to get a job remote job is way higher. Also, too, you might take a job as like a contract job, which it is a year. So I wouldn't, every job is not expecting you to stay on for 30 years, you know? So I wouldn't take it off the table because you're like, I'm only going to be here for a year, but not necessarily because to Mandy's point, it might be a job that's really flexible that you can live wherever in order to do so. So I would at least look and look for something within the parameters of what would make you feel like it's fair. Like, oh, okay, you know what? I'm going to look for a contract work where it is a year's worth, and or I'm going to look for a job that I can take with me. So, you know, just keep your options open and definitely look.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your questions. And that's a wrap for the questions segment. You going to boost or break? Wait, I stole your intro. You do it.
Are you going to boost or are you going to break? I'm actually going to defer my boost to you because my boost was going to be Kamala, since I'm short on time. So that's my boost.
What about you? It's Kamala, but okay, that's fine.
Let's do
At
it
least
again.
You didn't say Kampala, which is also trending on Twitter right now.
No.
Do better, y'all. I don't know if it's autocorrect or what is happening. Maybe like I don't know. People are writing Kampala. Yeah, I want to do a brown boost for the Brown Ambition listener, Stacey, who reached out to me because she saw I was a woman in need. And she guessed correctly that she and I live in the same neighborhood, almost kind of in the same town. And she offered to do my hair for me. And little did she know, but I was really having a hard time finding a natural hair salon where I live in the suburbs outside of New York City. And she was fantastic. And so huge shout out and thank you to Stacey. I paid her. She did not do it for free, for those who are wondering. And I sat there with her, and I had actually been going to – I went one time to a hair salon in the last – well, not even the last year. It was before I had the baby. And she it's a curly hair salon, but, you know, it's owned by a white woman, and her clientele is a lot of – like, I saw a lot I saw several, you know, women of color walk through and get their hair done, or at least coming through to talk to her while I was there. And honestly, I felt some kind of way, especially in the last few months, thinking about trying to promote – or not promote, but, like, you know, vote with my dollars and take my money to and more Black-owned businesses. So when I was rebooking an appointment with that salon, I was kind of thinking, like, man, I wish there were a Black-owned, like, a natural hair salon near me that I knew of. And so Stacey's message came at the exact right time, and I was so glad to get to work with her. And also I found a great photographer out here just by posting in my local, you know, moms of my town Facebook group looking. And I just like asked for what I was looking for. Hey guys, I really want to get some headshots done. I'd love to work with a woman of color. Do you know anybody? And her name came up, and it was a really great experience. So, it took a little bit of extra Googles or searching or whatnot. Well, actually, none in the case of Stacey. She just fell into my lap. But, you know, if y'all are out there wondering, you know, where are the Black-owned businesses, if they're not easy to find for whatever reason, I think just raising a hand, asking your circle, and trying to go find them, you know, it matters in some small way. So that made me feel good.
But I will pull all the APB out. If any of you guys know an illustrator, I want to build up Molly Moore's, my children's book.
Molly, we haven't talked about Molly Moore in a while.
Yeah, so we've sold like 10,000 books. Isn't that crazy?
What?
I know.
No, it's not crazy, but that's exciting.
Yeah, so it's just so, we sold, I'm printing like another 10,000 in a month or so, because there's maybe like 1,500 if that book's left at the distributor. So for those of you who are new, I wrote a children's book called Happy Birthday, Molly Moore. I did a Kickstarter where basically I asked people to purchase a book and put a little extra stank on it, because for every book purchased, I was able to then print a second book to donate. So we were able to get, I think, just under 3,000 books purchased and donated. So the donation, unfortunately, they're still sitting at the warehouse separately, because the schools have not been open, because we're donating them to like in mass to specific schools. Anyway, saying all that said, yeah, we sold like 10,000 books, and we're printing another printing. I remember when I was printing 10,000, the distributor was like, "Are you sure? People don't typically sell that many." And I was nervous, like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But sure enough, in like 2.5 months, gone. So you can find Molly Moore at MALIMollymoore.com. It just teaches age-appropriate financial education to your little ones, ideally ages 3 to 7, but certainly younger and certainly older. It's just about a little girl. It's her birthday, and she has to learn the lesson of, like, what really matters most.
She family has a lot of very generous friends.
Yes, family and friends or gifts instead. And so I say all that to say that I've been having all these other projects that I've been working on, And I've kind of neglected Molly as far as like what I've been wanting to do. So I want to, I have the Molly Moore YouTube channel. There's nothing on it though. But I would love to start to do an animated series that can start teaching specific lessons. And I'm looking for an animator who can help. Obviously, I'm paying. So if you know an animator, if you're an animator yourself, if you can go to the budgetnista.com and just click contact me and just type in like the subject line, like animator. And then, yeah, or maybe you know someone, send me their link. If you're, you have a, like a website, send that or whatever. Like, I don't think you're allowed to attach your portfolio, but you can certainly send a link to things and we might request a portfolio or, well, I'm assuming if you're an animator, you'll have a link to your work. Yeah, because I just, I'm excited because I feel like there's something special with Molly Moore, and I, you know, I just want to see it all the way through. So I just, yeah, that's my APB. I'm just reaching out for. I would prefer a black or brown animator, but it's not a deal breaker if they're awesome. Like, to me, it was a deal breaker. The illustrator had to be black or brown, and he was. Jazz is African American, because that was just really important to me. That when you open the book and you see my picture and you see Jazz's picture and you see Rihanna, who was our art director, when you see their picture, it's animated picture, but still, or illustrated picture, but still, it was important to me that those pictures were black and brown people, just because I knew those books would be in the hands of little children who might not have ever seen that. But for animation, it's different. You don't get to see who's drawing it. So I'm open to receiving animation requests from a wide range of people, although I do have a preference. So yeah, that's it. Get you a book if you haven't already. MollyMoore.com. M-A-L-I-M-O-R-E.
M-A-L-I-M-O-R-E. Mm-hmm. Love it. Okay. Well, that's fine. I mean, my husband always rolls his eyes when I specifically say, I would love this role to be filled by a person of color. It does not mean that we're taking, like, it's not like we're saying no to candidates who are not people of color. It is about making sure that the people that you have at the table in the pool of potential candidates, that you're at least seeing a diverse group of candidates so that people have a chance. That's it. It's a little uncomfortable for people to hear that kind of thing, but I don't think there's anything to be shy about when you specifically intentionally say you're looking for this type of person. I mean, Biden, for a reason, said he was going to look for a woman. It's okay.
Exactly.
And I think that is, we have to, and we're comfortable with it, or else we're never going to fix, you know, those issues. But that's a whole different, I'm just starting a whole new show here. Mm-hmm. Well, thank y'all for participating in another episode of Brown Ambition. As we said on last week's show, shout us out, tell a friend. We've really grown the show over the last few months, even in the time of COVID, which is insane to us. But leave us a comment, leave us a review. It helps us appear more prominently in iTunes if you guys rate us and leave a review, especially a 5-star review. If you, you know, so choose, that would be fabulous. And then post, you know, tag us on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook when you're sharing the show, and just let folks know. Don't let us be a secret. Let people know. Share the love. Let them know that we exist and that we are here for them as well.
Yes.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.